Welcome to Score Business Points, the program that provides information to help small businesses get started, prosper, and grow. A certified mentor with New Jersey Southeast Chapter of Score, here is your host, Michael Pappas. Welcome to another edition of Score Business Points. This is your host, Michael Pappas. Small business owners are the movers and shakers of American society. They take major risks to follow their dreams, and they often reap rewards that are extraordinary as a result. Their jobs are terrifying, exciting, and fulfilling, often pushing them to their limits every day. So how do successful small business owners operate? What do they do to stay mentally sharp and motivate their teams to succeed? Henry Ford said, "Whether you think you can or you think you can't, you're right." In this day and age, being a small business owner can be extremely challenging. There's a lot of responsibility on their shoulders. It can often be difficult to determine how to approach leadership in an innovative manner. That being said, the most successful business owners have their minds set on creating a wonderful work environment for their employees, providing incredible services for their clients, and maintaining an open mind when it comes to changing their organization's procedures. Reid Hoffman, an accomplished entrepreneur, executive, and investor who played an integral role in building many of today's leading consumer technology businesses, said, "An entrepreneur is someone who jumps off a cliff and builds a plane on the way down." With me today is Patrick Donahue to tell us about the mindset of a successful businessman. Pat was suggested to me by a member of the Southeast Chapter of SCORE. This member had seen a webinar Pat did for the Bucks County Chapter of SCORE and felt it would be a good topic for the show. I watched the webinar and agreed, so I asked Pat to come on the show to discuss the topic. Welcome to SCORE Business Points, Pat.
Thanks for having me, Michael.
Well, before we begin, tell the listeners a little more about yourself.
I'd love to. I'm a two-time cancer survivor who wakes up every day hoping to meet just one person who can shine my bright light into their dark future about business ownership. I've been doing it my whole life, coaching small business owners. And in the last 10 years, I took that experience and built a business out of just consulting future business owners on what and how to look at and what to consider when they're going to own a business.
Mm-hmm. Your presentation, you did a presentation for Bucks County and you called it the mindset of a successful business owner. So what do you mean by the mindset of a successful business owner?
Yeah, Michael, I think when you go for a job, right, you probably have some prerequisites, some things that you're good at, and you're intelligent enough and you have experience and you get hired based on that. In business ownership, it's a little different. The mindset is different. You're responsible for three major areas. One, your relationship with the customer. That's business development, marketing, PR. Two, you're in charge of operations, providing a value of service or a product. And three, you are in charge of making sure that you're running it financially sound and administering to the business. I call that the triad. And the people who are in the triad or this triangle, and they're going to be a business owner, have to sit in the middle of that triangle and navigate those three pieces. As opposed to when you're thinking of a job and you say to yourself, what am I passionate about? What do I want to do? That's work. And ownership is the complete ownership and the responsibility of business, different mindset. And what it requires is it requires more than just the intelligence to run the business. It requires your desire to acquire new information, information about your team, information about your customer, information about yourself so you can perform at a higher level. It requires the behavioral intelligence and the discipline to run a business. It requires the technical experience to use technology to your advantage. Technology is always evolving, so we must evolve with it. And lastly, and most importantly, the type of intelligence you need to really have the mindset of a successful business owner is emotional intelligence. Emotional intelligence is how we deal with one another. And it's super important that we really understand emotional intelligence and its role when we own a business, because that's how we deal with our customer. And that's how we deal with our team. We're in a labor crisis right now where people can't get employees. And if you don't understand people, you are going to struggle. So emotional intelligence is crucial in the mindset of a business owner.
Okay. All right. Well, I mentioned your presentation to the Bucks County Chapter of SCORE. In that presentation, you told them you have a mantra. So what is your mantra?
My mantra is that no formal degree is more important than the degree of your effort and the optimism of your attitude. Those two things, how much effort I put out and how positive I can be in any situation, are more important than what piece of paper I hold, what formal degree I carry when I'm a business owner.
Then why is it that what you learn in school is not what you need to know to run a business?
I think they're missing the opportunity to teach people entrepreneurship today in schools. Today, they're teaching people how to be functional inside a business. Most everything is geared towards what your role in a business is, as opposed to working on the business. And when you're working on the business, it's a very different mindset. Why schools struggle with it, Michael, is that no one wants to hear that the formula sounds something like this: fail, 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 succeed. That's really hard for people to in academia to wrap their head around. But while you're failing, you're learning, you're growing, you're struggling, you're figuring stuff out. It's like Edison's light bulb. That's some of the magic in who we are and how we succeed ultimately.
Well, I mean, you talked about what a business owner needs. I mean, and you think don't think there's a school, but what else is needed to be a successful business owner?
I think you need an opportunity and you need to face that opportunity correctly, right? So businesses are all about solving problems, and you want to find a business or service that solves the problem. You want to find a way to market it appropriately, and you want to find a way to tell that story of what you're doing. In today's world, there's many businesses that have plenty of clientele. Our economy, although overall is not doing great, it's doing really well in some businesses I'm working with where there's high demand, and where they're struggling is to find people. And I think really understanding what people need and the emotional context of that is going to be really important.
I think you mentioned it earlier. I think you talked about a business triangle when it comes to owning your own business. But what is the role of the business owner? And talk about that business triangle a little bit more.
Yeah. If you were to draw a triangle on a piece of paper, which I encourage a lot of my candidates to do, everything at the top of the triangle should point to financial success, right? And yeah. In that top of the triangle, if you put financial management, that's one of the major pillars you have to have, right? You need to bring in more money than you're putting out. That's financial success in a business. And you need to manage a business that's going to make money. It doesn't make money. It's a hobby. And at the bottom of the triangle, on the bottom right, I always tell people, think of that as, you know, responsibilities that revolve around selling, working with your customer, making sure the customer, you know, the customer's issues and how to solve their problems. And on the bottom left of the triangle is operational excellence, performing your business, service, or your product at a high level. Maybe you're manufacturing something. Maybe you're providing a service of some kind. Maybe you're doing consulting. That's your operations. All three of these have equal weight in the value of the business. And as an executive owner, you want to sit in the middle of that triangle, not relying on any one skill you had, like when you had a job, but managing all three of those and finding the right people to support you in all three of those functions.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Well, also, again, I'm going to go back to your presentation because I did watch it, and it was really a great one. In your presentation, you say fear is the enemy. Well, can you elaborate on that?
Yeah. I think all of us want to think that we can manage fear. And it goes back to when we're little. You know, when you see your friend on a diving board and they jump off and you see them in the pool and they have this great big smile. So you walk up to the diving board. But when you get to the edge of the diving board and your toes are over it, suddenly your body starts sending you other signals. It doesn't make sense to your body. Your body doesn't know why you're jumping off this diving board. And it senses it and it provides you with a little bit of adrenaline, but also some fear. We each have it in everything that is new. Anything we encounter that's new, we're going to have a fight or flight complex. And we can choose to walk down and get off the diving board, or we can jump in the pool in every one of these decisions. Well, as life progresses and we're no longer children, we're faced with this challenge again when we decide we want to strike out and change something in our lives, start a new business. And the fear and the anxiety of the challenge sometimes really paralyzes great business owners. And we've got to recognize it's going to happen. It's happening for a good reason. But at the same time, fear is coming into our system. So is adrenaline. The ability, if we choose to use that energy, to fight really hard for our success. And successful business owners always, and I will stress, always face down their fears, overcome their anxieties, and move forward. And they're catapulted by this adrenaline, and that's what truly makes them more successful. I probably spend more time talking about this when I coach people than anything else in the process of business ownership. And people will tell me all the time, I don't have fear. I can manage it. It won't get me. And every time, as we get closer and closer to the decision, it bubbles up. And I encourage them to embrace it. That's where the strength comes from.
Let's talk about a little bit about this, about fear. Are there, you'd say you teach all of us, are there some sort of coaching things that you give, techniques that you have to help them overcome this fear or to help them get it under control?
Yeah, first you got to admit that you have it. We all do. We all have it in different ways and forms and shapes. It's part of our DNA. It's important to recognize that it exists. And then when it comes, it's important to recognize what to do with it. You'll see motivational speakers who bounce before they get on stage. What are they doing? They're taking the blood flow and they're changing the direction of their body. They physically take that energy of fear and send it out to different parts of their body. Why? What happens? Well, literally when you experience fear, the blood flow changes in your body. It leaves your stomach, makes you almost nauseous, but it goes to your extremities. So your hands will sweat, your throat will dry, your legs will get stronger. Literally, physically, you will feel more empowered in your legs to be able to run away. And that's a choice you can make. So they bounce, right? And they try to redirect the blood flow, get it to your brain, get to thinking, this is what's happening. Embrace that moment and use it to really be a more powerful person. It's beautiful when you see it. And it's great when people recognize that they're going through it and you're able to help people maneuver and use it to the good versus the bad.
Mm-hmm. Well, that just brings me to the next question, because also in your presentation, you stated, if it's important to you, you'll find a way. If not, you'll find an excuse. Why would you say that?
I think in every point in our process, when we're looking to do something new, there's reasons what bubble up why we can't do it. You know, we're really busy. We've got family obligations. We've got decisions to make. It's not a good time. All of these things are a manifestation of fear. And if you choose to do it, if you choose to really make it as your why, you'll make it happen. So what I tell people is think about why you're doing this, not just the what, not just the how, but why. Why? What ultimately are you doing? And what we're trying to focus in is the long term. Are you trying to build income? Are you trying to build equity? Are you trying to have the tax advantage of business ownership? Are you trying to create a more powerful existence? Would you like to live by your code of ethics? Would you like to employ other people? Would you like to change the world? Would you like to have an impact on your society? If you know the matrix of why you're doing all that, then it makes it that much easier to focus on the making it happen versus wanting it to happen.
All right. I'm going to throw something else out. What if there are obstacles in your way? How would you overcome them?
Yeah, I think you have to break them down one by one and to make sure that you know why that obstacle is, what it is, and how to break it down and get past it. I think there's things that are going to come up to you every day and reasons why you can't do it or you shouldn't do it. And I think a whole lot of people's success is their ability to rise above it. I work with a lot with professional athletes. I just did a presentation and, you know, what most professional athletes tell me is as much as they were very good when they were little, when they got to a certain age, everyone was about the same. And then it really became about them tuning out all the bad noise and focusing inward on their capabilities and making sure that they could rise above the moment and be the best they could be. And that's how they got to that place. And oftentimes, people who are former pro athletes or former military are very good candidates for business ownership because they recognize that they've been trained to really bet on themselves. And you can do it if you bet on yourselves. That's the belief I have.
I see. Okay. You say there are five levels of business ownership. So what are those five levels?
Well, you could do a business purely by yourself. So, you know, I'm a consultant in this franchise business and I work with people one-on-one. I have no employees in this business. A level two would be where you have a home-based business, where you run a business out of your house, but you have employees that work for you. And you're an executive owner because you have someone in sales. You've got someone in operations. and you've got someone in finance. So even though there's no place of business where customers are going to you, you're going to the customers. You run it from your house. That's a level two business. Level three is where you have an office where your employees come, they meet. Some of them are housed there. Some of them were worked out of there. Again, the employees are at the office or your place of work, but the customers are not. That's a level three business. And then level four is something like maybe retail, a restaurant, a shop. That's where the customer is coming to a facility. Now you have another layer of complexity where there's a lease you pay at the first of every month. You're paying someone else for the right to their space, but you're able to have customers come into your facility and be able to serve them there. And then level five is where you're doing it multiple times. So you might have five pizzerias, or you might have five locations for a plumbing business or the like. But when you are starting to spread out and go into multiple locations and be an area developer, that's a level five business owner.
Well, let's talk a little bit about who makes it in business. Is there any sort of a curve or an IQ curve or something like that where this is the level, or these are the people who make it and these are the people who don't?
Well, I think that, you know, when you look at intelligence, most of us fall in the middle of a bell curve. And when you look at people who succeed in business, there's also a bell curve. 20% of people are at the bottom of the bell curve. About 60% are in the middle of a bell curve and 20% at the top. So the 20% at the bottom are really struggling to solve the customer's problems. They're getting in their own way. They're focusing on the wrong things. They're not delegating. They're not trusting. They're not good business owners. The 60% in the middle are doing ample work. They're surviving. They're doing well, but they really haven't reached that pinnacle. And that top 20%, they're doing and hitting on all cylinders. They are learning from all of their experiences what has happened. They're measuring the performance and they're debriefing and solving the problem. So think about the military process, right? They plan, they execute, they debrief, they replan. As a business owner, that's the formula. You're trying something, it may or may not work when you execute it. You're going to measure that performance. You're going to replan and do it again. If it worked, keep doing what you're doing. If it didn't, time to make a new plan. And that's the cycle of a business ownership mindset and constantly working for a better and better outcome. While you're doing that, the world is changing. Competition's coming in. The customers you're working for may be doing better or worse. There's always variables coming in. You got to stay on top of your business and continue to be very critically analytical about yourself and your situation so that you can continue to improve.
In your presentation, again, as we go back to that, you talked about intelligence, which we just were talking about a little bit. It says, but you indicated there are five types of intelligence. Can you tell the listeners what they are and what you mean by each?
Yes. So there's IQ. I think we all know what IQ is, right? That's how well we do in scores and tests and how we retain information mentally. There's AQ. AQ is how we acquire knowledge. So young people who are in school are constantly studying information. Their AQ is at the highest level in their lives. As they move away from school, as they become more of an expert in something they do, many of us stop the learning process. And it's important when you are going to be a business owner that you're constantly acquiring new knowledge. AQ is important. The BQ is how we behave. So what we do in our habits, how strict are we following process? How good are we are following up? How sound are we administratively? The behavior in which we choose to act is going to affect the outcome of our business. The TQ is technology. How do I use new technology? So I'll give you an example. Small businesses are out marketing in a way to the local market. I'm involved with a lot of franchise companies who have national platforms. So they may have 100 or several hundred franchisees around the country. And what they build is they build an infrastructure that they can tie into a national digital platform that'll make them more powerful than a local business owner. That's the power of technology for a large company. As a small company, you want to use all the latest technology to make you more efficient and make your employees have a more fulfilled sense of being at their production every day. And the last one is emotional intelligence, EQ. Your EQ is really important in business because we would like to believe that we make analytical, critical, objective decisions, but we don't. As human beings, we live in the subjective, the story. We are very emotional about why we do business with people or how we do business or who we buy from or what we spend money on. And you need to understand your customer's emotional reaction to you. And the emotional intelligence of recognizing that is important. And now even more important, because of where we are in our labor pool, every business owner I say says it's hard to get good people. And I tell them that it's like soup. You need to build good people in your organization. You need to have the emotional intelligence to know that it's not just a paycheck that people come to work for. It's quality of life. It's being respected. It's having their work honored. We work more and more with my candidates and clients and people that I'm talking to about how to retain and build better employees by giving and offering more value to them every day so that they'll go out and act on the best behavior for the company as if it's their own. Really important.
Then let's talk about a prospective entrepreneur. How do you think they should go about fulfilling their dream of ownership?
First, I think they need to go figure out what they want out of the business, right? There's three major things people want when they are looking at a business. One is they want to create more financial well-being. So that could be in the form of income or equity or real estate or tax advantages, but there's a financial component. Second, there's a contribution component. So what is it? What is the business you're going to do and how it's going to affect your community, your life, and your being? For me, a big part of what I do is being able to help people unleash their superpowers. I love being on the journey with people because I know that if they get through this and they find a business, they're going to live a more powerful life. So for me, there's a very big emotional component of contribution. And the third one is your schedule, right? Is how much time do you want to put in? Now, what I tell people is, when you are going to own or start a business, the first 2 years, you're going to work like no one else would. You're going to miss some dinners and you're going to work on weekends. You're going to do whatever it takes to get that business launched because 80% of all businesses fail within the first 5 years. So you're going to have to put out a massive effort in the first 2 years. But the truth is after that, that you can live your life like very few people can after you've accomplished the success of your business. And so knowing that beforehand, knowing what you're up against, knowing what you're doing, knowing what's why you're doing it, that's step one. Then you figure out the what your widget is and how you're going to do it.
Going back to your presentation, you talked about three employment choices. What do you mean by that? What are they?
Three employment choices. You have stay the course and keep your job. That's one employment path you may have if you're in a transition. The second would be to start a new business on your own. And the third choice, which is really my world, is you could pick a franchise. Okay. And the nice thing about the franchise is several things. One, it's got a path that you could follow. So it's got step by step on how to be successful. Two, there's all kinds of support to get you to be successful, to aid you in your journey. Three, there's resources that have been invested in a massive level that you will never be able to do yourself, that you will get as part of being in this fraternity. Now, I call it a fraternity because the word franchising comes from the word fraternity. And fraternity means like-minded people working towards a common cause. This is by definition collaborative versus competitive. When you think about your job in the workforce, most companies have employees compete for the salary, for the job, for the title, for the next position. In franchising, you are not in competition with your fellow stakeholders. Everyone has their own territory. Everyone is building the brand on the same rules. So everyone is also interested in helping others to build their business because it adds more value to the fraternity, to the franchise as you grow. And you see this all the time. You see franchisees reaching out to other franchisees to get questions answered. And I tell people when they're looking at a franchise, is this tribe someone you'd be friendly with? Would you want to be part of a tribe like this? Every tribe is a little different. You want to find a tribe where people like you, like-minded people, are working towards the common good. And when you find that, it's pretty magical. So you have three choices. You can continue on your job if you have a career. 95% of us have, 95% of Americans have a job in employment. Some go out on their own as entrepreneurs, and some go into franchising.
Okay. What things do you think would stop someone from being an entrepreneur?
I think a lot of it is inside of ourselves. I think a lot of us give up on our dream of business ownership because life gets in the way. Sometimes it's the voices that we're hearing. It's other people that maybe are pessimistic or rejecting the idea. It could be the guilt of, you know, doing something different. There's a lot of things that happen to us in this process when we're trying to go out on our own that really slow us down from succeeding. And I think a lot of it is inside of ourselves. Once we find the way through it, it's interesting. Whether someone stays with their franchise or their entrepreneurial experience, once they cross over into that 5% of business ownership, 80% of people stay in it. And only 20% of people who ever started a business go back into the workforce. I find that very interesting.
Let me ask you a question, about being an entrepreneur. How does one go about building wealth?
Yeah, so there's a few different components of wealth. I define wealth as take whatever your expenses are, and if you are creating twice that per year, so my expenses are $25,000 a year, and I'm creating $50,000 in recurring income from my assets or businesses, I'm wealthy. Because I am able then to go use my time to do other things. When I have that recurring wealth instrument, taking my handling my expenses plus the same amount back to me, I'm wealthy. And so you can build that through a variety of ways. You can build that through creating income from your business. So let's say I own a business that does commercial cleaning. And let's say that business makes $100,000 a year. If I were to sell that business at some point, that's the equity value. So it makes $100,000. It might sell for, say, three times that amount or $300,000. So that's equity. So I'm building wealth from income there and the equity value of the business. And then if I have a piece of real estate that's been paid for from that business, so let's say I own the building, then I'm establishing myself with real estate equity. And if I do that and the business is paid for, I can depreciate the building over the course of 27 years and I have a tax shelter. So a lot of people, when they look at businesses, they're not just looking at income. They're looking at the equity value of the business. They're looking at the real estate equity of the business, and they're looking at the tax advantages as well. That's mm-hmm. wealth building. In a job, you have income. That's it. You only have one. In a business, you can have four streams of wealth building.
Okay, with everything we've covered, what is the outcome of being a small business owner?
I think for me, it's agency. Agency means I can come and go as I choose. I can follow my ethical code. No one will ever tell me to make a decision based on what their value prop is. I get to choose what's right and wrong in my business. That's super powerful. I get to help people solve problems. That's why I get paid as a business owner, as I'm solving someone else's problem. Of course, I'm creating income and I'm creating equity. And I think most of all, it's, you know, especially for me when I started my business at 45, it was really accepting a new challenge and proving to myself that I could do it. I think that a lot of us go through life with things we want to do and it never gets done. And I don't want to be haunted by that at the end of my life to say, woulda, shoulda, coulda. I love the idea that I always wanted to own my own business and now I do. And I think some of that is as valuable as the wealth that it creates.
Funny you should mention being haunted by that. The last thing, and this will be the last question I can ask. The last thing in your presentation you mentioned is the ghosts of potential. What do you mean by that?
I think we have human needs. You know, one is very important, which is to have love and connection. We also would like to have variety in our lives. We like to have new things happen. We'd like to be significant. We'd like to have certainty. We'd like to know that our bills can get paid. That's certainty. We would like to be able to grow. We would like to continue to grow. And I think most of all, we want to have some contribution back to society. Those are human needs we all have. We obviously need food, water, shelter. A lot of us are very focused on those. But once you go beyond those, once those means are covered, and then you're looking for love and connection, you're looking for variety, you're looking for significance and certainty, you're looking to grow and have contribution, a business is a great opportunity to be growing when most people are shrinking. Most people in corporate or have been doing something for a long time start to believe that they're shrinking in significance. And I think owning a business allows you to do it. And there's a motivational speaker, his name is Les Miles, and he talks about, you know, living a complete life. And if you live a complete life, your hope is that when you reach the end of your life at your deathbed, there are the loved ones that you've touched surrounding you with comfort. But he also asks, what if at that same bedside, there are these ghosts that exist? The poem you never wrote, the apology you never made, the friendships you never rekindled, the business you never started, the song you never sung. What is it that you haven't done that you need to start acting upon today and start doing? Because we only have so much time, and you don't want to let those ghosts linger. You want to slay those ghosts. You want to have fulfillment in your life of why you're here. What's our real purpose? And I think that's always the challenge for all of us.
I thank you very much. I think we've covered everything, and I appreciate your taking the time out of your busy day to be here on Score Business Points.
Mike, I can't thank you enough. What you're doing here is amazing. I think Score is a wonderful organization. There is so much talent out there for people to tap into. And it's just people are so pure of heart to volunteer and want to help small business owners. And your vehicle, having a radio show, I've been able to tune in on my time heading to the beach. And I've loved it, listening to it and being inspired on the weekend. So keep doing what you're doing. And thank you.
Well, thank you again. I appreciate all your time. Take care. Right.
Okay. Bye now. Bye-bye.
As you've heard, being a successful businessman is certainly a challenge, especially during trying times. But it is important to maintain a positive mindset and motivate everyone around you. After all, the best leaders listen to their followers and learn from their ideas. It may be tempting to remain stuck in your ways because they are all too familiar. But it's essential to adopt a mindset that allows for transformation and flexibility. This way you can serve your clients effectively and ensure that your employees remain happy and healthy. This will likely lead to an extremely productive workforce who gives their all to your company. While small business ownership involves a lot of risks, the rewards are extraordinary when you finally find success. Sometimes it takes years to build a successful business. Learning from the failures along the way is often the path to enormous success in the future. It's important to remain optimistic even when times get tough. After all, even the biggest obstacles are there to teach us lessons we need to learn. When the time is right, you'll find success. In the meantime, as Oprah Winfrey said, you must prepare yourself to meet the moment. If you would like more information about this show, or for that matter, any past Score Business Point show, you may email me at sbp@wbnj.org. That's sbp@wbnj.org. If there's any topic you'd like to hear discussed on Score Business Points, or you have a question or a comment about this show or any past show, you may email me at the same address, sbp@wbnj.org. That's all the time I have for today. Tune in next week for more Score Business Points. This is your host, Michael Pappas, saying so long until then. For those who may not be familiar with Score, Score is a nonprofit association dedicated to helping small businesses get off the ground, grow, and achieve their goals through education and mentorship. They've been doing this for over 50 years because their work is supported by the U.S. Small Business Administration, the SBA. And thanks to a network of 11,000 plus volunteers, they're able to deliver their services at no charge or very low cost. For more information on how you and your business can benefit from a mentorship from SCORE, you can visit southeastnj.score.org, southeastnj.score.org. And if you missed any part of today's broadcast, you can catch an instant replay at wbnj.org. SCORE Business Points is a production of the New Jersey Southeast Chapter of SCORE and 91.9 WBNJ.